Well, we in the evenings are continuing our series in 1 Peter, and we're in the very practical sections of chapter 2 and into chapter 3, where Peter is giving instructions about what it means to live as a Christian in all the different spheres of life. But when we say live as a Christian, what we mean is this: live as the God-centered, God-fearing Christian in the world. Peter is explaining what that means, to fear God and to serve him and to be living God's way in the world around us. Well, I wonder if you remember many years back, and that there became this almost fashion trend among Christians to wear a bracelet with the letters WWJD on. And you may be familiar with it, that they stand for What Would Jesus Do? And it took off because it was such a helpful thought to think about. What would Jesus do in the situations that we're in? And in fact, when I first went to university at the age of, 19, at Reading, that's how I first spotted that my next door neighbour was a Christian. He was wearing one of these bands, and that started a long friendship. Well, these bracelets remind us we should be thinking about what Jesus wants us to do. And Peter, in this section that we're in, reminds us that Jesus has set us an example which shows us how we ought to live in the various areas of our lives. But specifically, he's talking this evening about slaves relating to masters. And he says in verse 21, he says, "To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." He was able to say, look, Jesus has set an example, so that when Peter was writing this letter and he was addressing those who were slaves in the fellowship, he was able to say, look, just as Jesus lived, so that gives you insight to how to live as slaves. Well, you might wonder, well, what's the relevance for us today? Well, although we're not in an exact parallel of the situations that slaves were in, nonetheless, the way that Peter applies the principles here, those same principles then can be applied using the same approach to the different situations that we're in, specifically, especially in the workplace, but also maybe if you're a volunteer in a charity or something, and how you relate then to those in authority over you, for example. And there may be other applications as well, but those specifically are the kind of areas we're looking at, where Peter takes the principle of relating to those in authority, following how Jesus acted, learning what Jesus did, so that then we can do what Jesus did. We can ask ourselves, what did Jesus do? Well, seeing what he did, we then know. So let's look at these verses together, where Peter writes, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." Now, when Peter is writing to slaves, addressing them, it's important to understand a bit of the context about who these slaves were. And in Roman society there, slaves weren't what we might think of from the 19th century, which was a far worse slavery system than what Peter is writing to here in the first century. Rather, the kind of slaves which Peter is writing to, addressing to here, were more like servants in a household. Although some of them maybe were in situations where they weren't treated very well, generally, they were treated okay, generally. They were paid for the work that they did, and that they could save up money to buy their freedom. Many were serving in skilled professions, such as nursing, managing, music, being musicians. Some of them were teachers, teaching. And so it's very different from maybe what we might have in our mind from the slavery of the 19th century, which was horrific, the examples we can maybe think of. Now, of course, this isn't to justify, though, the fact that that what Peter is talking to them and addressing how they should behave isn't saying that the system was right, that they should not have their freedom. That's not what's being said here. But rather, he's saying this: while this authority is in place And while you have found yourself in this situation, submit to that authority. It didn't condone, Peter wasn't condoning people not having freedom necessarily there. In fact, Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians that slaves should seek to gain their freedom if they could get it. So the New Testament teaches that that actually freedom was something to be sought after, and that to be held without freedom wasn't God's plan and desire. And so Peter, Paul, they're obviously not saying that people's freedom should be taken from them. But until they could get their freedom, Peter has instructed them, saying, look, the God-centered Christian slave was not to be mutinous, was not to be rebellious. Rather, they were to submit to their earthly master. He's already said in this chapter, in verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And we saw a couple of weeks ago about how that speaks into governments and local government and so on. But every human authority, Peter goes on to say, includes the masters of these slaves. What's the reason then for this? Well, Peter gives the reason in verse 18. It's in reverent fear of God. It's in reverent fear of God. Be submissive to those in authority over you out of reverent fear for God, who is in overall authority over all things. Now, what's that got to do with it? Well, God has put lines of authority in place. And even though in our broken, fallen, sinful world, authority is often abused and misused, as was in those situations with many of the slaves and servants, even though it was abused and so on, nonetheless, God has put lines of authority in place. And we're to respect those lines of authority. We're to act rightly towards them, as if even to God himself, because God is sovereign over all things. So Peter encouraging them in reverent fear of God himself, submit yourselves to your masters. So shows then how verse 13, submitting yourselves to every human authority, applied to their everyday life, not just to the governors and the rulers, but also to their masters. And although our society is different, although we're not in a situation where we're slaves or servants in a household, maybe, it still applies to us, where we're in situations where we're under lines of authority. You're in a workplace, and you've got your line manager, or your boss, or your project manager, whoever it is, there's a line of authority there. Well, there's a line of authority which we must respect and submit ourselves to. 21st century is different, but we can apply our situation, apply the principle of submitting to lines of authority which God has put in place in society, submitting ourselves to those lines of authority as in reverence to God himself. Or maybe you take up volunteering for a local charity, maybe, and you're taking instruction from the director or the coordinator of that work. You're to respect that line of authority, respecting those who are in authority over you, submitting to their authority. So it applies to us today. We're to submit to masters, bosses, respecting their authority and doing all we can to follow their instructions and to be cooperative and helpful to them. Just as Peter is saying here for these slaves. Now, back then, in Peter's day, as now, there are some people who are easier to do that with than others. There are some who are easier to obey than others. And so Peter is writing here, he says in verse 18, the second half, he says, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. There are situations where there are those in authority where people are abusing their authority, maybe being harsh, maybe being over strict, just being harsh. And yet Peter is saying even there we're still to respect That authority, that line of authority is still a line of authority as part of the system that God has put in place. We're still to submit to their authority. And we know that can be hard for us today even, still, can't it? And it can be a real tough challenge, as Peter is hinting at, by saying even, or but also to, those who are harsh. He's recognizing that there will be some people who will have no problem submitting to and doing, and it'll be a pleasure to work with them. But that there'll be those who will really struggle with, and that we may even really kind of struggle to get ourselves out of bed the next day because we're just really not enjoying our job because maybe a boss or a master is really hard to work with. But Peter is saying, no, we must submit ourselves to their authority. We must cooperate. We must be working well with them. Even if they're rude, even if they're ungrateful, even if they're critical of us, we're to be patient, helpful, working just as hard for them as we would for anybody else. So even if they're asking us to work the extra hour or two longer than anybody else would, even if they're not being considerate maybe about the knock-on effect that those extra hours or the stress of work might be having on us outside of work, even if that's the case and the temptation is to be uncooperative or maybe negative and critical of them, we're still to be helpful, to work with them well, to do all we can to submit to them. Not that we shouldn't suggest different ways of doing things. Not that we shouldn't use the proper lines to be able to say, actually, I'm struggling. I need help here. Or it's unhelpful how you're speaking to me. It would be more helpful if you said this. Or maybe even using a company's line of complaint making, maybe. But in the way we do that, we shouldn't come back across as being awkward and critical back and just unhelpful. We need to be gentle, respectful, not negative and critical in how we come across. So that's what Peter is saying to us then, as he's saying, look, we're to submit to those in authority over us. And he gives some encouragements then as to why that is. In verse 19, he says, look, for it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they're conscious of God. It's commendable. God commends us for bearing up or enduring under such treatment when we're suffering but not retaliating. God will honour us, God will commend us because we're doing this out of respect and all for him. And so although we may find it really difficult, and Peter recognises that in verse 19, doesn't he? He says that it's about bearing up under the pain of unjust suffering. Yet, God will commend the one who does that, who is conscious of God, because they're doing it out of respect and authority for God, out of fear and reverent fear for him. And so because we prepare to suffer in order to honour him, God will commend us for that. So Peter doesn't take it lightly when he says to do this. He's recognising that it'll be sometimes bearing up under pain sometimes. But God encourages us that doing this, he will commend us. He's saying, look, it's not commendable, verse 20. It's not commendable if we receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it. That's not commendable, is it? Because, well, we're wrong in the first place. And that's harping back, isn't it, to that wrong response we could have of being mutinous in the workplace, just being unhelpfully negative and critical of our bosses. Well, that would be wrong, wouldn't it? And if we were, if we suffered for that, well, that we can expect that should be the case. But rather, if we suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. It is to your credit. God will commend you, reward you. And what a joy to look forward to Peter had said back in chapter 1 that God, in verse 17, he says, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time with foreigners here in reverent fear." God is a God who sees what we do. He judges impartially. He's a God who will reward us for how we've served him. It's all of his grace, but God is a God who gives rewards. And that's what's being seen here. God will commend us for how we obey him in the workplace like this. You may have seen on TV, maybe a scene of a war hero who's come back from a tour, maybe in Afghanistan or somewhere like that, and they've maybe been harmed, but they've been brave and they've served well, and they're going to receive a medal for the work they've done, and they are going up to the Queen to receive their medal, and they walk up humbled, amazed that they're going to go before the Queen to receive this medal, and they haven't. Trying to picture the scene now where maybe they just kneel and the Queen then puts the badge on, or however it's done. What a delight it is to that person's heart as they are commended, honoured by the Queen. But what a joy we have to look forward to, where in glory we'll be commended by the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, God himself, for obeying him, for being in reverent fear of him in the workplace, in places similar, and so on. That's encouraging itself as well, in that our daily lives then are significant, aren't they? Sometimes Christians struggle with seeing how their time in work fits in with their Christian life, wondering, well, does God only reward and significantly approve of evangelism or full-time paid church work or whatever it might be in terms of being up the front in Christian ministry? Is that all that God is interested in? Well, no, God is interested in the whole of our lives. And he, as we've been looking in Ephesians, is the one who will honour those and reward those who serve him in the workplace. And here again, he will commend us as we honour him in our daily lives, in the workplace, or volunteering, or wherever it might be. God will honour us. God is interested in our daily lives. We can serve him there. We can please him there. That is Christian ministry. It is gospel ministry. It is ministry that he will commend as we live for him there. So Peter then calls us to submit to those in authority over us. Now, we were called to this life, we're told in verse 21, when we became Christians. We were called to this life because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. This is where we come back to, as you mentioned at the beginning. We were thinking about, well, what would Jesus do? Well, we're to live in this way because this is what Jesus did. God is not asking us to do anything that the Lord Jesus didn't do himself. We're to follow Jesus, being like him, to live submissively as he lived. And so how does it describe what the Lord Jesus was like? Verse 22, quoted from Isaiah, "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Jesus got abused, had threats made at him, got beaten, got nailed up on the cross and crucified. But through all that time, he did not retaliate. He did not make any threats back. He did not sin against God. He showed mercy and compassion and even prayed, "Father, forgive them." That was the nature of the Lord Jesus. That is how he acted. when he was under those who were in authority over him, who were cruel and harsh to him, he submitted himself still to their authority. He still submitted to those in authority over him and entrusted himself to his Father. He did not retaliate. And that is the example then to us, that we are then called to follow Christ's example. We are to be like Christ, who went through far worse even than what we may go through. We're told then in verse 21, Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. The Lord Jesus has given us his mission to continue on. The Lord Jesus has given us gospel ministry and a life following God, being obedient to God. And so as he set us that example, those steps before us, we're to put our feet in his steps. We're to be like him. Him who was mistreated, him who was beaten but did not retaliate. Verse 23, we're told what Jesus was able to do in any encouragement he could have, which is this, that he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And this is an encouragement for us as we think, well, but this just doesn't seem fair. What? How does this fit in with God's justice? How can God be asking me to do this? Well, we can leave it to our Father to be judge. We can be encouraged that God will one day bring justice. We can be encouraged that one day wrongs will be righted, that justice will be brought. And so because of that, we can be encouraged that even though we don't see justice in this life fully, yes, we are to fight for it, yes, we are to seek it. But even though we won't see it perfectly, we know that there is our Father who will judge justly. And so because of that, we're to leave it to him. We're not to take matters into our own hands. It's God's role to bring justice. And so we shouldn't usurp God's role by bursting out in a fit of frustration or prideful anger and retaliation back at somebody. Rather, we should leave it to God. Yes, we should campaign for our government to do what is just and right, and we should seek to see a justice system in our country. But ultimately for ourselves, when we're being persecuted for following the Lord Jesus, when we're being treated as Peter has described here, we're to entrust ourselves to God, entrust the situation to him, him who judges justly. So we need to take a step back then from these verses and say, well, do we fear God and accept his authority? Is that our heart? Is that our desire? If it is, then we will be able to see these things fitting into place. If we see God as big and great and the one who is in overall authority over us, and that we're submitting our lives to him, him who is sovereign and mighty and in control of us, then everything else will fit into place. The more we accept that we are under his authority, the more we will then be able to submit ourselves to the authority, lines of authority which God has providentially put in place. Are we fearing God then? And are we able to entrust our futures into his hands? So that even though we may be unfairly treated, we do not let pride to take over and retaliate, but rather we can entrust ourselves to God. And are we seeking then to follow the Lord Jesus, to be like him more and more, so that day by day we are seeing that we can live like the Lord Jesus did? Well, may God help us in the different settings and circumstances that we're in, to live like the Lord Jesus in a Christ-like way. And may God save many people through our witness as we do so. Amen.